Well, we've been going through a series on life in the body. In other words, what does it mean to be part of the local church? And we've looked at a number of passages. We looked at 2 Timothy 2:2, where we were reminded to be strengthened in the grace of Christ Jesus. That is, that when Timothy was preparing for ministry, he needed to be reminded of the strength, not his own strength, but the strength that we can gain, the strength that we have in Christ Jesus through his grace. And then we looked in 1 Peter 1, 18-21, and talked about how the precious blood of Christ was spilled for the church. His blood was spilled for the church, and that communicates something to us, doesn't it? The fact that Christ would spill his blood for the church lets us know that the church to Christ is of great value, that he would die for her, that he would sacrifice for her. And that's what we talked about in Ephesians 5, 22-30, how Christ is sovereign over his church, how he sacrificed himself for her, and now how he is at work in sanctifying her. He is working through the church. And then we looked in Ephesians 4, how Christ in his death is the victor, how he gifts his people, that is, he gives his people a spiritual gift, if you will. And then he girds his people. He equips them. And then he grows his people. Through that equipping of his people, he then grows his people. So the idea is that his people are gifted, and they use that gift, and then his people are girded, they're equipped, and then they then in turn use a gift in the church, and the church begins to grow. You see how that works? And then we looked in 1 Corinthians 12. Since we talked about gifts, we talked about the problem regarding spiritual gifts and the test regarding the spiritual gifts. And the problem, of course, was in Corinth, they really didn't understand the spiritual gifts. They really didn't understand what they were, how to use them. And so Paul gives them that test. And the test was what? It was a test by the Spirit of God. Are they giving praise to Christ, or are they saying Jesus is accursed? In other words, is Christ being exalted? And that was the test. And then we looked at verses 4 to 7 in 1 Corinthians 12, and we talked about the producer of these grace gifts, that is the triune God. It says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12, there are varieties of gifts but the same Spirit, varieties of ministries, the same Lord, varieties of effects but the same God. And there we see the triune God at work in these spiritual gifts. So the producer of these grace gifts is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're all involved in the producing of these grace gifts. And we talked about the power of these grace gifts, that is, varieties of ministries, the various ministries that God uses and employs in the church so that the church would grow. And then varieties of effects, the product of the grace gifts. These grace gifts produce something. What do they produce? Varieties of effects. That is, in some places, the gift of teaching is going to have a wide influence. In other places, it's going to have a smaller influence. But guess what? As long as that gift is being employed, all glory goes to God. And then we talked about the purpose of grace gifts. And that is the common good. And so this morning, we want to look at the people of grace gifts. That is, the church. Because that's where Paul goes next in 1 Corinthians 12. After looking at the producer of grace gifts and the power of grace gifts and the product of grace gifts and the purpose of grace gifts, he then talks about the people of grace gifts, that is, the church. And so I've titled this morning's sermon, Grace Gifts in the Church, Part 3, because it attaches on to the message I gave a couple weeks ago. And I want to read our text this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26. the word of the Lord reads, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." And we see here Paul laying out the people of Grace Gifts, the church. And he's giving us five truths about the local church. Because remember, 1 Corinthians is written to who? It's written to the church at Corinth. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, we have to keep in mind, first century, right? New Testament time. What happened? Well, there was only one church per city, right? If you were in Corinth, you went to the church in Corinth. It's not like today. When we went on summer vacation, just this past summer, family vacation, we're driving through one of the little towns in Central California. Little town. And right next to each other, three churches. Right next to each other. And from the names of the churches, you couldn't distinguish what they were. But they were right next to each other. You see, and what happens is we start to get this sort of consumer mentality of churches, don't we? We start to get this consumer mentality. Well, you know, they do children's ministry great. But I like the music ministry over there. And in fact, their Wednesday night Bible studies are better. So I'm going to go to four different churches. The New Testament knows nothing of that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because I think it's necessary. Because as Mike read earlier, in 1 Peter 4, what does Peter say? He says that when you employ your gift in serving or in speaking, when you employ your gift, what happens? God is glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? That's what we learn from Scripture, and the Westminster Confession says that so clearly and concisely. That's what our purpose is, isn't it? It's to give God glory. Well, how do we do that through the gifts, Paul? Well, Paul says, in the local body, in the church. That's why he lays this out. And so he gives us five truths about the local church. The first one is that the church is a body. The church is a body. Now, of course, one of the major problems that was in the Corinthian church was what? It was disunity, right? There was disunity. Some were committed to Apollos. Some were committed to Paul. Some were committed to Peter, and the more spiritual ones were committed to Jesus. Right? Oh, you might be a Paul, but I'm of Christ. That's right. didn't think of that one, did you? See, so there's a lot of disunity. In fact, there were so many divisions there that some people were even taking their brothers to court, right? That's what Paul addressed in chapter 6. And so there was this sense of independence that they had. Independence from the church. Independence from the brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we relate to Corinth so easily, don't we, in our society today. Now, they may not have had the consumer mentality when it came to picking churches, but they certainly had this individualistic mentality. And they wanted to say, well, I'm better than you because I am of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. So they had all of these divisions in the church. In fact, as Paul talks about, there were some that were weaker, but they were necessary. Some were stronger, and the stronger ones deemed the lesser ones less honorable. So there's all these divisions going on in the church at Corinth. But Paul wants them to stop thinking in that way, and he wants them to start acting like a body. That is, that there's a corporateness to them, a togetherness. That's what a body is, right? So a body is something that stays together. And that's how Paul wanted them to think. He wants them to stop acting like Mr. Independent or Ms. Independent and start acting as part of a team. You know, there's that saying in sports, there's no I in team, right? And that's really the mentality here. Paul is saying you're a body. The church is a body. The local church, the church at Corinth, you're a body. Stick together. Unify. And it's interesting because, you know, the use of this body metaphor, it's something that the first century mind would relate very easily to. This was language that they were very familiar with. Socrates in 400 BC used a metaphor of the human body when speaking of the governance of the state. There were a number of writings back in the first century and even the first century, 100 BC, a number of writings that used the body as a metaphor. And so Paul was just taking what they would understand and said, no, the church is the body. The church is the body. The people of God, they're a body. But they're not just any body. They're the body where Christ is the head. So Paul says, you know, you may talk about government and you may talk about these political entities and how they're a body. No. The true body is the church because Christ is the head. So they were very familiar with this. And so Paul takes it and he says, no. Every believer is a part of the body. That's what he says here. He says, for even as the body is one, yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. He's talking there of the church as a body. And so there should not be any disunity. In fact, in Christ, according to Ephesians 2, in Christ, the Jew and Gentile distinction has been removed. Listen to how Paul says that in Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Now he's bringing in these battle lines. The Jews were calling the Gentiles uncircumcision or uncircumcised. which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. You Gentiles were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. So Paul says, Gentiles, this is who you were. You didn't have God. In fact, you had no hope. And then verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near. How, Paul? By the blood of Christ. For he himself, that is Christ, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. That is, he brought the Jew and Gentile together and made one new man, one body. So there ought not be distinctions when it comes to the church. There is a unity that we have. When one comes to Christ, they need to be a part of church because they're a part of the body. And Paul makes it clear by saying we've been baptized into one body. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. By the way, this is that spirit baptism that we refer to. Sometimes you hear people talk about the spirit baptism. And by the way, it's not something that you have to seek after salvation, which is how some churches will teach it. No, no. What happens? When you come to faith, you're baptized into one body by the Spirit. That's the Spirit baptism. And guess what? When you become a Christian, you become part of the body. And even Paul is here again talking to the local church, isn't he? He's talking to the local body. And so we are not to have division. We're not to think in terms of division, dividing walls. We like to put up walls, don't we? We got to stop that. There's a unity that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we can't think of ourselves as an individual Christian. We like to think of ourselves as that, don't we? It's very much it's the American mentality, right? I mean, it really is. We're independent. We celebrate Independence Day. That's what our country was built on. But not so in the church. Not so in the church. In the church, we have to understand that we were saved by God, yes. And we were saved for God, yes. But we were also saved for God's people. That is, God saves us and he employs us to do his work in the church. So we got to break ourselves of that individual mentality and break ourselves of thinking, yeah, church is on Sunday. I go to that building called the church, and then as soon as I leave the church, I'm done with church. That's a dangerous mentality. You know why? Because you're acting against the command that we read in 1 Peter 4 that Mike read earlier. Turn there with me. 1 Peter 4. Look at what Peter says. The end of all things is at hand. Now, just pause for a second here. A lot of times we like to say, and we even hear people say this, I don't want to deal with the church. The end of the world is at hand. I need to go out and evangelize. Guess what? You've just created a false dichotomy. This is not an either or. It's a both and. Why? Because Peter says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Now notice this, above all, keep fervent in your love for who? One another. because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you notice what Peter's doing here? He's saying the end is at hand. Go serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, am I saying don't evangelize? No, absolutely not. We have to evangelize. We should be evangelizing. We're talking about that in equipping hour this morning. We are witnesses. But it's a false dichotomy to say the end is at hand. I can't be involved in the church. I need to go evangelize. You've created a false dichotomy that the Bible knows nothing about. Both are true. Evangelize, yes, but serve the body, yes. As each one has received a special gift. Now, who has received a special gift? Each one. We saw that in Ephesians 4, didn't we? Christ gives his gifts. He is the victorious general, and he comes home with the gifts, and he disperses his gifts to his people. So if you are a Christian, you have been given a gift. What do you do with that? Peter says, and this is a command, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. So in other words, if you have a speaking gift, evangelism, teaching, whatever your speaking gift is, speak. But I don't know what to say. I don't care. Speak the utterances of God. Let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, if you have a serving gift, whatever that might be, administration or helps or mercy, whatever your spiritual gift is, serve. Well, I'm tired. Let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. You're tired. That's great. Praise God. Go serve. But I just got off work. I had a long day. That's great. Go serve. But I'm weak. That's great. Praise God. Go serve. And watch how he supplies the strength. Watch how he supplies the strength. I have yet to hear someone say, I regret serving. I never should have gone. I was so tired, I never should have gone. I haven't heard that. Maybe you've said that. I don't know. But I've never heard that. I've heard people say, praise God, because I saw him at work. That in my weakness, I saw his strength. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that, notice the purpose here. Here's the purpose. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see how Peter says it? He says, employ your gift. Use your gift. Use it in serving one another. And let me say this, and I might be stepping on some toes here, but you know what? That's okay. Use it in serving one another. Some of you say, well, you know, I go to this other church and I do some teaching there. Use it in serving one another. Because when we talk about Corinth, he's writing to the local body, isn't he? He's writing to the local body. And he makes the argument there that it's one body. It's not several bodies, it's one body. So we need to start thinking in terms of, not that this is the only church around. There are other churches around. There are certainly dozens of churches just in our area, aren't there? And if you're going to that church, then praise God. Go to that church. Commit to that church and serve in that church. But if you want to be a part of this church, serve here. Serve here. Be committed to the body. That's the whole point of this metaphor as the church's body, the local church as a body. And I don't even know where I am in my notes now. But you see, that's Paul's point. Paul's point is, consider yourself, Grace Bible Church of Roseville, as a body. Stop trying to be that individual, independent, Rambo-like Christian. Do things on your own. No, you're part of a corporate body. Engage. Employ your gift. Because the church is a body, it makes sense that there is unity in the body. Now notice I said unity and not uniformity. Because a lot of times we think uniformity. What's the difference? Uniformity is a call for everyone to be exactly alike. Unity is just a gathering of purpose. Uniformity says everybody has to look alike, speak alike, act alike. Unity says we just have the same purpose. We might look different. You know, Louis with all his ties and all that. You know, we might look different, but we have the same purpose. So there's a unity in the body. There's this unity of purpose. What's our purpose? Well, our purpose is we want God glorified, don't we? We want Christ exalted so that God would receive the glory. We don't want to be cookie cutter Christians. If everybody here tried to look like me, I would feel sorry for you. That's right. Because God has a manifold wisdom. And we look around the room and we see that God has saved such a varied group of people. And the only reason we come together is because of Christ. We have a fellowship in Christ. Otherwise, there's no way you'd hang out with me. You would hate me. But by the grace of God, he saved us. And so we gather together, reminding each other that our eyes got to be on Christ. That's why we gather. So thankfully, we're not all the same. But we have the same purpose. So while there's unity in the body, there's also diversity in the body. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but the Corinthian church had all the gifts. Remember that in chapter 1, verses 4 to 7? The Corinthian church was blessed with all the gifts. So there's this wide range of gifts, and they've been given to the church. So there's diversity in the body. The body has many members, Paul says. The body's not one member, but many. And then he goes into this great picture. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. And we find this in the church often, don't we? Well, I can't teach. So I'm not going to serve. No, you're not any less a part of the body because you can't teach. You may not be able to teach, but maybe you can encourage. Maybe you can serve in a different way in the church. I mean, there are many different ministries in the church in which you can serve. I remember, you know, when we do membership interviews, Mike and I, when we've interviewed individuals, we ask, What's your gift? And a number of times we've had guys say, I don't want to speak. I don't want to get in front of a group. I'm deathly afraid of speaking. That's fine. That's fine. And these are the men that you see that you don't see, but they're doing stuff around the church. They're guys that are doing stuff out on the lawn. There are guys who will, you know, help set up things. There are guys who will help out on when we have work nights, and they're just guys in the background. But you know, those guys are very important, just like in the body. We pay attention to the things that we can see, right? Ladies, your eyes, sometimes you wear makeup on your eyes, or you've got, you know, earrings, or nowadays the nose ring or whatever, right? And we pay attention to things that you can see, but you don't see the heart, the liver, the kidneys, but are those any less important to your body? No, they're actually probably more important, right? I mean, you know, you can survive without an ear, but you can't survive without a heart, right? And you can't see those things, but they're so important to the body. There are brothers and sisters in this church that are serving in ways that you don't even know about. I praise God for them. That's the diversity of the body. God has gifted us in so many different ways that we employ our gifts in many different ways. All you have to do is ask. Come to Mike or to Bob or to me and ask, how can I serve? We'll find a way. We'll find a way for you. But just get in and serve. Employ your gift. Because it's important for you to understand, as Paul says, that you are not any less a part of the body. You are just as important. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. Just because you say it doesn't mean you're not a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, now here's where Paul gets, I mean, there's a little bit of sarcasm here, right? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? I mean, just get that picture in your head. One big eye, right? Just one big eye. I guess wouldn't be able to walk around, just kind of rolling around, I guess, right? It's just kind of silly to think about that. But a lot of times we think, well, he's the preacher, he needs to do the ministry. He's a preacher, he needs to do the work. What you want is me to be an eye rolling around. That's what you're asking for. Or you're asking for Mike to be an eye just rolling around. You're asking for Bob to be a foot just kind of hopping around. I mean, that's really what you're asking for, and that's not what you want. There are diverse gifts in the body, and every single one is just as important as the other. And so we need to remember that. We need to keep that in mind. Because there is diversity in the body. And by the way, God sovereignly places each one in the body. That's what Paul says. Look at verse 18. But now, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body. Notice this, just as he desired. If you're a part of this body, if you're a part of Grace Bible Church in Roseville, it's because God has desired for you to be here. You have something to offer this church. You have something to offer the brothers and sisters here. Employ your gift. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know how I can be used. God has a purpose for you here. Look at it. Look at the text. Just as he desired. God has a desire for you to be here in this body. Engage. Employ your gift. See what God has for you. Because he has something for you. He desires to use you. See, the problem was that a lot of the Corinthian believers wanted to be something that they weren't. They wanted to be an ear when they were an eye. They wanted to be a foot when they were a hand. They were desiring something that God didn't have for them. If they were all one member, verse 19, where would the body be? Now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So here, Not only do we have the weaker members who say, I'm not a hand, so I can't do that. We have the ones who are more visible saying to the other ones, I don't need you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. The ones that we don't really see are necessary. It's just like what we were talking about earlier. The heart, the liver, the kidneys. You get rid of those, you're in trouble. But you can't see them. We don't put earrings on our heart, right? No makeup on my liver. You see? But they're important, aren't they? And so, even the ones that seem to be weaker, the less visible ones, they're necessary. Those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. On our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. You see, God sovereignly places each one in the body. And we got to understand that God has a purpose for each one here. He desires you to be here. So engage, get involved, serve. We have different ways of doing that. We've got ladies' Bible studies going on. We've got home fellowship group going on. We've got youth ministry going on. We've got kids going on. We have the nursery. I mean, we have all sorts of different ministries where you can serve. Get involved. Serve. And see how God can use you. Well, I don't know what God has in store for me. I don't know what his plan is for me. Just get out there and start serving. You'll see. You'll see what he has for you. I was talking to a brother this morning, just before service. And we were talking about how in evangelism, we can both be a little bit timid. And he looked at me and said, well, you're not timid. I said, no, I am. I really am. And when I first started teaching, I didn't want to do it. It was one of those things where I said, nah, I don't do that. And Louis can tell you that a bunch of us just push each other into teaching. No, you got to go teach. No, you got to go teach. You got to go teach. And when Louis and I were doing youth ministry, we were just pushing each other. No, go teach. And we found that God can use us that way. He can actually use us that way. Just get out there and start serving. Because the other truth about the church is that each one that has been divinely placed in the body must be actively participating in the body. Each one is necessary. Notice what he says here. In verse 25, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. What's he saying there? That we all have the same care for one another. That is, we all are serving one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There is a necessary corporate way of thinking that we need to adopt. We rejoice when a brother rejoices, when a sister rejoices. We suffer when a sister suffers or a brother suffers. I mean, think about this. When you stub your pinky toe, I mean, that's just your little pinky toe, right? That's no big deal. No, that's a big deal. I mean, you're hopping away and you're writhing in pain. I mean, your body's responding, right? Your brain is telling you that hurt. And you start jumping around and you start, for some reason, rubbing it. You have no idea how to take care of it. But man, it's just your pinky toe. What's the problem? No, it's a problem. It's a problem. My pinky toe's suffering. I need help. Right? Something wrong. But the rest of your body suffers. Right? I mean, you feel that, don't you? You feel it. You're jumping around, writhing in pain. It's the middle of the night. My wife's saying, what's wrong with you? I stubbed my pinky toe. The body suffers when one member suffers. When one member rejoices, we all got to get in there and rejoice with them or her. We need to be actively participating in the body. Each one is necessary. God desires for you to be here in this church. If you're here and you want to be a part of this church, that's God's desire. He wanted you to be here. Get engaged. Get involved. I mean, there are different ways you can serve. And I so appreciate brothers and sisters who come up to me and say, hey, I have this idea for ministry. You know what I say to them? You know what Mike says to them? Okay, go do it. Go do it. Let's see how the Lord can bless that. And we see that he does. We have to start thinking in terms of the body. We have to stop thinking in terms of individual. I'm an individual and I'm independent from all of you. You guys have your thing going on, I got my thing going on, and that's just how it is. No. Now, I'm not saying be nosy. I'm not saying that we need to be the nosy neighbor who's always peeking in on our brothers and sisters in Christ. What I am saying is, how about a phone call? How about an email? How about let's go out to coffee? Let's get involved in each other's lives. Find out, how can I pray for you? I mean, how can I be praying for you? I so appreciate brothers in the church who text me, hey, I was just thinking about you. How can I pray for you? Oh, that so encourages my heart. Or an email, or guys who call me up and say, hey, you want to get together for breakfast? You know, we should all be doing that with each other. We should all be doing that. We should be practicing the one another's of Scripture. Why? Because we are a body. And when we employ our gift, God is glorified. See, this isn't about my needs. And that's a lot of times how we think about church. Does it meet my needs? If it doesn't meet my needs, then I'm done with it. Nobody talked to me, I'm done. I'm leaving this church. Nobody talked to me. Can you imagine if Jesus said that? I mean, I came to this earth, they don't like me, I'm done. He didn't come here to be served, did he? He came to serve. Our mentality, we've turned that on its head. No, serve me. This is about me, meet my needs. If you can't meet my needs, I'm done with you. That is so against who Christ was, so against the words of Scripture. Serve. Serve his people so that he would receive the glory. Serve his people so you would see God can use you. He has a desire for you to be here. Serve and see what that desire is. And let God be glorified through your service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would write this word upon our hearts and that you would do your work in us, God. You would help us, God, to see the necessity of serving one another. Even as the end is near, pray that we would be about serving your people. Because in doing so, God, you make it clear that you are glorified. So, Lord, would you use us? Would you make it clear to each of us, God, how you would want us to be used in the church? You sent your Son to be victorious, to overcome sin and death and Satan and the world. And he did that. He accomplished that. And with that, he set about establishing the church. And so we can glorify him by using the gifts that he has given us. And putting on display your work through your Son in the church. So, Father, would you help us to do that? And again, God, help us to do that so that you would be glorified. This is not about the name of Grace Bible Church of Roseville. This is not about my name. This is about the name of Christ. So, God, would you glorify yourself through our serving one another? And Father, I pray that the watching world would see. They would see the love we have for one another. They would see the love we have in serving one another. And they would then want to know how we can do this, how we can be like that. And we'd have the opportunity to tell them that you sent your Son into the world. So God, would you do this? And let us as a church have a great impact in this community, God. We want to see souls being saved. We want to see you using us, Father, to share your gospel through our hospitality. And just as we serve one another, God, I pray that you'd help us to link arms and go out and evangelize our neighborhoods. So Father, do your work through us. And receive the glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.